Radio Witch. Ayo!
Welcome to the Radio Witch Moon Hotline, which harnesses the natural vibes of radio waves to cast a radiophonic spell, broadcasting every full moon. This month's theme is radio itself. Turning our radio magic in on itself, will we create feedback? What is the magic of radio? What is radio? Why radio? Where radio? Radio, radio? You're on the air, caller. You're in the air. You are the air, caller. You're airing the call, or perhaps you're calling the air.
Hi, it's Carol Anders. Radio is probably still the most accessible, economical, and also friendliest way to stay linked to the rest of the world. And I've been doing talk radio now for almost 7 years here, and I've only had 3 guests during weekly shows, 52 shows a year. And all that time, 3 people turned me down, did not want to have an interview. And I think it's because we don't have to be face-to-face. We don't have to suffer sometimes body language or the way they're looking at me or any other of those signals that might be either judgmental or might be just inappropriate. So I love radio. There's no body language to have to deal with. And what I also like about it, I can turn it on anywhere, any place, almost on my phone. And it's one of the only few things left that can still work and run on batteries. And the other great thing about radio is you can be on with somebody for a longer time, usually in a more developed story or more information, especially for people on the run. So, and I just think radio still has sex appeal. When I tell people I'm a radio show host, they go, "Really? Wow." And I love that. And then, of course, bravo to DJs, too, who keep us with the backdrops of our lives and all their great music. Thank you for this opportunity. Be well.
Disembodiment is definitely a magical feature, not a bug. When you're on the radio, you're everywhere and you're nowhere. You're somewhere far away, beamed across miles, maybe bounced from a satellite, but also right in the listener's ear.
What I find so magical about radio is the intimacy of it. Because I feel like the voice, the human voice, and all the sounds that come through the radio are so evocative. They're so present. And they make all kinds of pictures, you know, come alive in my mind. And it's just an open medium. I can listen to it. I can take in what I hear, and I can also be responding to it with my own imagination or my own response. And those voices, they just carry me along. It's like someone's like in the next beat, and I hear what they're talking about at the diner.
The joy of radio is that in America, where do people listen to the radio most? Especially in California, in their cars. And so our work went out to all kinds of people that we never would have crossed paths with in our daily lives, or might never come to our art space theater performance piece. And the opportunity of how people listen alone in a car or with another person in a car to a radio piece and how they go into it is so entirely different and so much more intimate. There's nothing like the live presence. And radio, in its weird way, is as close to live presence as you get. Because of the way you receive it, and because it goes out to people you don't even know who they are. People switch stations, you know? come upon things.
And when there's that expression of, well, I was listening to the radio and I just had to pull off the highway and, you know, listen to this thing, because that's how much it asks of you. You know, you want all your senses, you want all of your faculties, your cerebral cortex, you know, your amygdala, you know, everything is pulled in.
Why is radio magical, special, unique, and great? Because as a listener, you fill in the imagery while listening, and it can become a more powerful experience as you become one with the medium. And that can be for news, it can be storytelling, like podcasting, I suppose that is different, and especially music. You just fill in all the images and you put your own emotion to it. And so with music, you create your own world. And then as you're listening to a story, you join in on someone else's world. And again, you fill in all the imagery. So it causes you to possibly use more of your imagination as opposed to other, like a full-on AV experience.
Think of going to a film and you hear things and it's sound designed, but you don't have any picture.
Similar to reading books, where you're filling in all the imagery, maybe you're filling in sounds, but radio especially, it's emotional, and then you're filling in the imagery.
It is asking you to create your own images after what you hear. And that's different from reading, which people don't have such a problem with that because they have this visual thing, which is a book with words. And then the visualization is occurring at the same time. This is different. You're really being asked to sharpen your hearing, sharpen your listening, listen for, and keep track of. Listen for a variety of other things that are going on, and keep track of the theme or the story. It's a skill. It really is a skill. And I think a lot of people really don't want that skill. You know, they want to look at something. You have nothing to look at. You have strong sensuality. You have your senses are acutely poised to everything, and you just are invited into this rich darkness to hear sounds, voices, stories.
And what's magical on those live telecasts, that's everyone tuning in to the same wavelength. And that's powerful in itself too, like a mass meditation, as listeners all focus in on one hive mind. Yeah!
People are hungry for real life, you know, for a real person opposite. And the ability to listen and exchange and explore a space together, it's not replaceable. Putting it out there, you know, getting that real picture into the media that hasn't been Hollywoodized, that hasn't been turned into sensational news, that isn't there to pump you up or propagandize you, but it's just to like get you into my shoes, get you into my skin, you know? So it's like an alternative space, an artist space. You sneak in the back door, you got a program, nobody paid any attention, and you put all these things onto the air that were completely different than what anybody else would hear, including critiques of the media itself.
When I moved back where I'm currently living, up at the top of California's Redwood Coast, I discovered, sadly, that the community-based radio station was shut down. It wasn't for lack of enthusiasm on the part of DJs or listeners. The college simply slashed its funds. In its place is now wall-to-wall national programming, which means I can get in the car at 11 and hear the tail end of a report on the world, and get back in a few hours later and hear the beginning of the report. All things considered seems to start around noon, which just seems awfully early in the day, or maybe it's late if it means I missed Morning Edition. These aren't programs that I crave. Rather, I want the expertise of the DJ I used to hear on Wednesday mornings. She had a skill set beyond this banter or sad news. I run into the station's former music director occasionally at the local bookstore, and he talks my ear off about these decisions. Sometimes across the street, as I just don't want to be reminded that my listening experience is controlled by a university seat behind a desk. The other day, I got into the car and punched another of my radio's buttons and was taken on a different kind of ride. It's call letters. Spell M-U-D, Fritz signals meandering through heavy rains and frequent mudslides. It comes out of the south end of the county and gets to me through a translator, another layer of signals slides along. I'm taken on a reverie. The DJ's voice is gravelly. Is it a woman? Is it a man? I imagine a gnome-like creature swiveling her chair in the studio, piled high with LPs and CDs and a logbook that she notes down that she's just played. She swivels to glance at the clock, its analog arm clicked silently. And in that stretch to look up at the clock face, it's as if she's inhaling deeply on something that brings her pleasure. It is, after all, the south end of the county. She slowly reveals the time, detailing the minutes before the hour, rather than some digital explanation on a loop. She exhales, and I have no idea what she's talking about, or what she's just played, or is about to put on the turntable, or who's just walked into the studio to get ready for their show. That's my radio love story. This is Joan Schumann.
And there is no more radio. I mean, radio is gone in the sense that it was in the 80s and 90s. It's better to go small and local now than big and national, because it's where you can actually have meaningful conversations and maybe reach across to somebody who's didn't even know any of these things are out there. It goes back to the beginnings of radio in America. You know, there were all these like free-forming stations in the Midwest and Texas and places, but you weren't even licensed things. And they had crazy preachers and all kinds of weird stuff that, you know, would never get on the air today.
I was just remembering, I was a child, and my parents listened to KGO and Don Sherwood, that he was the DJ, and he would play this often enough that I just, and it was simply two people speaking, a man and a woman, and she would say, John, and he would say, Marcia. And it began like that, and it was like, John. Martha? John. It just really went all over the place. But it was, John. You know, it was radio art.
Martha. John.
Radio Hotline, the Moon Line, the Mooncast Line. So the question is, where does the magic of Mother Radia come from? What does that magic do? How does that magic, how is it performed? Thank you. In the end, we have to go way back, many millennia. That magic descends from a kind of primal hunger to bend our ears to the heavens, to hear the voices of God in the wind, and then the magic of Mother Radia. What it does is bring us closer to these fundamental rhythms of entropy and instability, ephemerality, decay. All of these qualities that human hubris wants to deny that any of this exists. And a lot of those qualities are shared actually by community, and so when Mother Radia inhabits a community transmission, there's also the fragility and potential entropy of community, and I really think that those two play off of each other and echo each other in many ways. The magic of Mother Radia also invites us into this kind of paradoxical, liminal, kind of limbo space of ambiguity, polyphony, multiplicity, the simultaneity of infinity and also immediacy, so right here in our ear, and yet it's also just out in the universe. I just love that, the poetry there, the poetic possibility there. It's so fundamental to why radio makers just kind of can't get enough. Where does that magic happen? I think the magic happens in these kind of, I don't know, these edges, right? These kind of oozing, blooded edges that Mother Radia is kind of made of these edges, and between sanctuary and the killing field, right? Are present in both those spaces, and the edge of between those spaces. The edge between the raw and the cooked.
So, you know, you can throw in a little philosophy, a little art, a little music, a little politics, a little poetry, a little documentary, a little storytelling from just anybody on the street corner, whatever interesting material you want, and you can compose with that material and structure it and mix it and have, you know, and surprise your audience.
This is the Lunatique Radiophonique calling just one more time to just also sing a couple of more praises of Mother, Great Mother Radia, and how she sails through the wild dark against all the calculated algorithms of the data mine. Kind of uncontrollable, hard to commodify, hard to pin down, hard to measure. Despite all the pretensions of market analysts. And I love that sense of, you know, the kind of wildness of transmission and the castaway, yeah, that castaway spirit, the pirate spirit of the radio body. Radio bodies are really, really out of control, I think, of the data miners, and that's why, transmission broadcast remains something that I personally love so much, because it's not mediated by the endless algorithm.
Look at what he's doing.
And then leave space for your audience to call in and talk to you about what they just experienced.
Call the Radio Witch Moon Hotline with a sweet offering for the next full moon radio spell, the June full moon. This moon is called the Strawberry Moon, the Honey Moon, the Mead Moon, the Hay Moon, the Hot Moon, the Full Rose Moon, the Lover's Moon. Call the hotline and let's talk about love and sweetness. Or just let me know what this brought up for you. It's in the U.S. Call 1-518-302-6067. 1-518-302-6067.
But to be around these radio people, they are awesome. They are like major people.
Thank you to Carol Anders, Jackie Apple, Sheila Davy Sumner, Nathan D. Duval, Roberta Levine, Joan Schumann, and Gregory Whitehead. You are awesome. You are all major people, radio people. Thank you for listening to the Radio Witch Moon Hotline. You are major people. Radio people. You are awesome. The Radio Witch Moon Hotline was produced as part of the Radio Artist Fellowship at Wave Farm by Jess Spear. For more information, visit wavefarm.org.
And I do think it is an art form for the future because it's just not appreciated enough.